G'day, Kennedy Molloy podcasters. It's Dangerous Dave here. Kennedy Molloy returns after Easter, but to get you through the break, what we've done is bagged up some of the incredible comedians we've had pass through the studio. And we're going to start with one of my favourites, Judith Lucy, who apparently has all she needs to open a fish and chip shop.
For her new comedy show, Judith Lucy vs. Men, Judith has been looking back across some of her past romantic encounters.
There was the housemaid who I was completely obsessed with, who turned to me and just said, "You've got an okay face," and f***ed my best friend.
And in her new role as wellness warrior on The Weekly, she's been putting her body on the line.
I let a woman inject a litre of warm ghee into my back passage. Now, that's simply a sentence I never thought I'd have to formulate. And I will never eat butter chicken again.
Well, I certainly won't be having Indian tonight. Please welcome back Judith Lucy.
Hello.
Oh, sometimes it's not easy listening back to yourself and sitting here and thinking, and that's all true. It's all true, the ghee in the back passage. And, you know, the thing is, I actually let her do that four times. I had so much oil up my ass I could have opened a fish and chip shop. Anyway.
Welcome aboard. It's great to have you back. You've never had to make anything up. Your life is so full.
It's full, isn't it? And a bit crap. I mean, let's face it, if it were a full, fun, happy life, I'd have nothing to say.
You are talking yourself down, young lady. It's been a magnificent journey with many arcs. And many dips, and so much learning along the way, which I love.
Jude, can I say,
I feel like I've been there with you for
months. And that is disconcerting as well. So Jude, I'm going to look at you, Jane.
Well, do look at me, because I'm going to say something to you. You've never looked hotter.
Come on.
You're looking in hot shape, babe.
Hey, seriously, why don't you two kiss? That'd be great.
Oh, my God. Would you like us to bring out some pillows as well? Have a little pillow fight.
We're already naked. We have to kiss
I'm
now,
just
too?
Never happy, am
Jeez.
I?
Now, I want to know, though,
put
whether...
Put the pillow down,
I'm sorry.
Jane. Come on.
I'm sorry. When you say that you had some ghee,
was it
like a health enema? Is that what we're talking?
Look, it was part,
you have to explain yourself, or I'm not going to have butter chicken again.
Ayurvedic detox. Now, for those people who don't know, one or two of your listeners, Ayurveda is a beautiful ancient Indian form of natural healing. And as part of it, yes, I did. I had warm ghee injected into the back passage. And I'll tell you what was really a struggle. You had to keep it in there for some time. And I was on public transport. I was on a tram.
Did this on public transport.
They do it and then you leave.
Wow. And then it's meant to just hang out in your intestines or something for an hour or something. So I'd be hopping on the tram and just crossing my fingers and my legs.
Ringing the bell. I might get off at the next stop, please.
Yeah, it was trying times. Look, it didn't make
it
regular.
And why did you do this? This was for a spot on the telly.
No,
yeah.
I did it because I had digestive issues, Mick. I'm loving the way this
interview
is going.
What about just taking a quickies? Have you ever thought of...
You know what? You know? My issues were a little more involved for that. Do you really want to get into it?
No.
I'm curious, but I'm happy to leave it here.
I will be honest with you. The oil didn't do much for my regularity, but I'll tell you something, the dim sims, along with the butter chicken, were amazing. So I just had a lot of food coming out of my arms.
Right.
Then... Shall we try and raise the tone?
No,
stay in my back passage?
You never die wondering when Judith Lucy's in the house. Judith, you've just left Adelaide. You're on your way to Melbourne to do the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Mm. I saw a picture of you in the Daily Paper, the Herald Sun, with 10 of the top comics in Australia, all posing on the same staircase for the one picture. Can you tell us, is it like that We Are the World shoot where everyone has to check their ego in at the door? What's going on? Who was the biggest bitch out of those 10?
Look, to be really honest with you, so for those of you who didn't see the photo, it was people like myself and Hughesy and Will Anderson. And Anne Edwards.
Royalty.
Becky
comedy royalty. You know,
but what they did was they tried to make it like one of those Vanity Fair covers.
Yes, none of you were smiling, as my father would say. He goes, Janie, why you all look so miserable? It's a comedy show.
We were looking serious. We were all glammed up to the max.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, no one owned the clothing they were wearing. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
And so it wasn't so much about ego. It was actually everyone walking around and either saying or feeling, I'm a dick. That's what was really going on.
Because you didn't pop for me.
I didn't look Natalie Portman on the cover of Vanity Fair. I'm so sorry.
Stand by, Jude. Will you stay with us? Because when we come back, I want to talk about your show, Judith Lucy versus Men.
Yeah, we know who wins that one.
Only if I get to talk more about my arms.
Yes, you can.
This is the best of Kennedy Malloy.
You have been at the top of your game for so long. Okay, let's talk about this one. Lucy versus Men.
Yeah.
How wide a net are we throwing here?
Yeah,
when it comes to the men involved.
And how long ago do we go?
Right back. I actually talk about the first man in my life who was, of course, my, because I'm adopted, of course, my birth father.
Yes.
And I do mention the fact that I don't know who he is, so he obviously lost interest as soon as he pulled out. And I may say that may have established a little bit of a pattern for me and men.
I really
go back, Jane.
Ah, you do.
Would that account for why you ended up with a male prostitute?
Well, yes. Now, it's funny you should throw that in.
How many times?
Just the one.
Okay.
Just the one.
Now, when did I first hear this story?
Or not. You see, because I do talk about the fact in the show that I reckon I'm done with dating, but I say that, you know, I'm not ready to hang the vagina up, so I'm looking at ways
other
of
options.
Still being fulfilled in that area, Jane.
I see.
I actually went to a lecture given by a dominatrix, so watch this space. I think we know I'd look
fascinating.
Hot in rubber.
Was it a job interview or was it?
I'm just saying, wait and see, Mick. Wait and see.
Do you dress up at all for us in the show?
I've got to reveal something when people come and see me live, Jane, so I can't give too much away. But I do say that, of
book
course.
Book me a ticket. One
of the things, of course, that I say is, and I thought about sleeping with a male escort, which Mick Malloy, I did when I was 27 and talked about on Martin Malloy.
It was a big episode, I remember indeed.
It was a big episode, and I relive a bit of that. I don't know how much of it you remember. I remember that I rang this guy up. Actually, the place was called Heaven on Earth, and I remember...
Is that an actual venue or a website?
It was a venue. It was like, well, it was in the days when, it was a card I picked up in a sex shop because that's how I was spending my spare time.
Heaven on Earth.
I must have been working that night. Was it?
Well, I like to say after my experience, I thought it should have been called What on Earth. I always remember ringing up and the guy saying, what's your ideal physical type? And me honestly saying, if my past is anything to go by, I'm not too fussy. And then him saying, what about me? Because he owned the agency. I look a bit like Russell Crowe. And you know what, Jane? It turned
That's
out
That's a hook, is it?
Well, it was Russell Crowe gladiator
All the
days,
old Russell
though.
Crowe.
And you know, when he turned up, he did look like Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe was shorter, older, and had a pumpkin instead of a head. But look, the main part of the story that I like to remember is that the whole thing cost me $648 over 20 years ago.
Why? Just for going out. Did you go out? Did you eat? Did you drink? What happened?
Well, it was just like a very mediocre one-night stand. But, Jane, the best part of the story is actually that I bumped into the comedian Greg Fleet the day after it happened.
Oh, that's a great person
and,
to run into.
Well, quick as a flash, Fleet, he said, oh, Jude, I would have done it for a flat 500. So that's a good friend.
And makes a lot of sense, too, when you think about
it. It really does on many levels. So come and see whether I've done that again, Australia.
I would like to get to the bottom of that. I guarantee you this is very ripe terrain for Judith Lucy. Now, we also have to congratulate you on you. You're joining
I'm
the
on
Weekly.
The telly.
You're on the telly.
On the Weekly, which is
a great show.
It is.
And it got the Lucy bump.
Yes,
because you did your first ever episode.
Sweet.
It had its highest ever ratings in its history. And we had a We had a very nervous Charlie Pickering in here going...
So he was very happy.
I've created a monster.
Watch your,
I don't know
watch your step.
He said you're a bit of a bitch on set, though.
I am difficult.
You're often late. You don't prepare.
You're very unprepared.
And I'm drunk. I mean, I was drunk on air.
Yeah, Roseanne Barr was, pretty obvious.
Hang on a minute.
As nutty and racist.
I'm a nutty racist. Gee, I mean, I don't come in here to feel good, but I haven't been compared to a nutty racist before.
Jude, listen, welcome to my world.
Yeah,
he
good
says
luck,
things
Jane.
To me every
Let's
day,
go out
but
and
I
some
get
butter
over
up
it.
Our ass. Let's all go out together after the show.
When he's not insulting me and calling me a racist, he's a real supporter.
I'm going to be there, front row.
Sure.
This is the best of Kennedy Malloy.
Dave Thornton is a very funny comedian and a dedicated father to two young girls. And we know he's both of these things because his Insta shows two mini Thornos laughing their heads off at Dad. But trying to put a roof over these two girls' heads has really stressed Dave out.
What I really want to do is turn up to the Australian Tax Office so I can scream, "What the f- stand duty!"
However, these days, with his hugely successful stand-up, The Project, and his Fox Footy quiz, The Beep Test, Dave is raking it in and spending it in very responsible ways.
I don't know, just hanging out in my bathroom at my sensor toilet. A bit of luxury.
Please welcome to the show, Dave Thornton.
Wow.
You're one of those people who's got one of those special toilets. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that was taken out of context, if I've got to be honest.
Welcome to the show, Dave, by
what
the way.
What is a sensor toilet? Thanks.
A sensor toilet. So, Mickey.
It knows you're coming.
Oh, hang on. This
the
toilet,
lid goes
this
up,
is
the
what
lid
I
goes
want.
Down. What?
That's exactly what happens, my friend. God. I didn't see how far the sensors will work, whether, you know, you can drop whatever around the bowl and it fixes it up for you. I don't know, Mickey.
Can it sense you from the next room? Can it prepare in advance? Does it know you're coming?
Oh, really? Just some relaxing music.
Does it have any fragrance
some
built
potpourri.
In?
Potpourri.
Oh, David Beckham's has been sprayed through the room. Here we go. We've made up for
how
it.
How lovely.
The Japanese started this stuff, didn't they? The Japanese and their toiletry.
Well, the Europeans
way,
were so. Always pretty big on the old bidet.
Oh, that's true. Just
so,
to put some water
you know,
off your clacker.
You can't. The Japanese can't claim everything.
But there's a weird juxtaposition there because you're right. The Japanese make it all clean, but yet they'll just put used underwear in
vending
machines. You've made this thing all topsy-turvy, guys. What is
they're
going
a weird
on?
Bunch.
Oh,
the old Japanese.
Dave, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on board.
It's and, great to be
you're
here.
A new dad, too, recently. Oh, you have two children, but you've got a very little baby in the house, too, haven't you?
I got a four-month-old.
Wow. That's
that
fresh out of the oven.
I know. How's this?
You're happy to be here?
Very happy to be here, Mickey. How's this, though? Turned up on the due date. First KPI in her life and just bang between the crosshairs.
Good as that. That's not the first one I've ever heard say that. It's either before or after. The due date is a big greatest work of fiction. Mm.
Well, this is exactly right. Because a lot of people brag about their kids thinking they're advanced and, you know, they're going to be a future prime minister. My daughter is already going to be better than the prime minister. Because I suppose, well, the Prime Minister's last 10 years, she actually won a full term. So I am very happy with that.
And what, you've got two little girls?
Two girls. I make females, Mick. That's what I do.
Females.
Very interesting.
You're like a chick factory. Just punch them out and there you go. So
How has your life changed since you've had? Because, you know, it's a big deal. They're close together in age. They're very young.
They are.
It's a big new life change.
You can talk.
Mm. Hey,
she's got five within about a year and a half.
How did you
don't
do
speak.
That?
I have no idea.
She's sipping from a glass of wine as she says that.
Yeah, where did you get the beer bong from? This is amazing, the facilities you have here at Triple M.
It's a very forgiving station. Dave, tell me how your life has changed as a young guy.
Well, this is the thing, though, with two. With one, fine. It's two on one. You can kind of work that out. Yeah. Two on two now.
You're like radio clowns. You can get the child into
That's
a
exactly
reasonable
right. That's and true. Your standards drop considerably on the second.
Oh okay.
Once you get to five, Jane can't even name her youngest child. Honestly, it just drops off like that.
I go in and out.
Yeah, calling it backup was a bit rough. That was really where it hurt.
Individual one.
Dave, you're referring to the fact that with your first child, especially girls, and I had a girl first too, you go nuts on the clothes.
Sure.
And the pink and the everything, and you do the nursery up and it's so girly and clouds and everything's so good. The second one, not so many photos. Not so many. Is that what you're talking about or is that just me?
No, but this is also, this proves, Because the first one came along, you're washing them in filtered water, you're wrapping them in organic cotton, it's all happening. We honestly, for the second one, we went on holidays like a month after she was born to an Airbnb. Nikki and I both, my partner and I both, accidentally sat on our youngest child. Now we... Now, because
I don't know much so about little. Parenting.
it was just a limb. Like, she had her arm out and you sit down and go, oh, you're there. Oh, there we go.
Wow.
Hey, you snooze, you lose. She knows that. You know that. They're the risks.
And
you
she
have
wasn't crawling yet.
In.
Go on.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you.
Lean into right. it. Can you just fill us a little bit on what that, because it's feeling a little lean in world. Is that what it's referring to?
Jane, I'll tell you what happened. Okay. Registration comes out in October. I think of a sentence.
Okay.
And then since it's down in paper, now everyone goes, is that a quote from Michelle Obama? Is that a quote from Oprah? Isn't that what our sales force used on the whiteboard last week? And I go, yeah, sure.
You've got to be careful with that stuff. We had to register the name for a racehorse once, and which was me and a group of my friends bought. Anyway, it came out. They go, mate, you've got to have this in it. So, no, we all agreed on eight names. Sent it in. They sent it back going, look, one of these is already taken. You need to put in a replacement name. None of our other mates were there. So me and my friend Rob go, think of the stupidest name you can think of for a racehorse, and we'll fill that in.
Yeah.
Anyway, the registration turns up, and we own a horse called Bunky. and none of our friends were in the loop or knew
but
there was a
change. They're horrified, aren't they?
Horrified.
It's a terrible name.
Trevor Marmalade gave up racing. He said, Trevor Marmalade said, I will not turn up to a racetrack for 2 years because I'm too embarrassed.
He's a Bunky. Mate, I get it. I play in a very aging basketball team.
Yeah.
We're playing our B division, whatever.
Yeah.
And a mate of ours, his last name's Rice. So he goes, I'll just call the team Steeman because Steeman Rice. But it's like the first game we get there, and this guy goes, Steeman pile of shit. And you're like, oh, we've really made a rod for our back here.
Oh, don't get downwind of Steeman. They are on the bugle tonight.
I shouldn't have got Dutch Oven on the back of the jersey.
That
would still.
Be a giveaway.
Are you missing radio? Because you used to work every morning chipping away at the coalface.
No. Because it was breakfast radio.
Because it was breakfast radio. It's a tough run. How long did you do it for?
And I did it for 4 years.
Mm. That's about it.
Three then... for good behaviour. Get you out.
When you get out, was it like getting out of jail? Was it like you're getting your wallet back, getting your your jeans back, your watch back? You can now go and re-enter society.
Like Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. I got de-liced. They hosed me down and then fed me out. And you're I didn't out. Know how most of the technology worked. Oh, when I went in, I was a Nokia man. I came out, saw smartphones. Things had changed. It changed me.
So life's good?
Mate, life is good. But although, you know, we were just talking about it because I'm a young dad. Like, how to get your kicks now is like compared to what used to be a fun time.
Mm. Sure.
What's your idea now?
You know, this only happened a few weeks ago, and it made me laugh for days. When, I don't know if you've ever done this, but in anyone listening, I recommend this highly. If your parent or grandparent has never taken an Uber.
Now, this is very common. Because,
go with them.
Yes. Now, go on, because I think I know what angle you're coming from. Here.
Because I took one with my mum, I said only a few weeks ago, and we get to the destination, and bless her cotton socks, she's 70. She opens the purse. She's like rifling through the money. She goes, how are we going to pay him? And I go, no. And she's like, but how are we going to pay? And this is what you do. You open your door, step out and go, run. And what's the blood just drained from her face?
So to paraphrase, you get your kicks playing pranks
on your mum.
80-year-old
that's funny.
Women. Is that it? Is that your new idea of a big night out?
Well, the thing is, I can see through her retirement, she's just spending all of my inheritance. So if I get that kind of shock in early, Mick, maybe I get a better
fold. The concept
fold.
Of Uber that it's already paid for had passed her on the way. So.
But can I tell you what the dangerous thing is now, though, is because you travel largely in Uber. On the rare occasion, you have to catch a cab. Mm. So you're out the front of a theatre and you catch a cab. I just get up and walk out. So I open the door and I'm hovering in the street and going, hey, man, do you want to come and pay for the cab?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, mate.
Or the opposite happened. I was just at the Adelaide Fringe Festival with a mate. Actually, Nikki Britton. She's a great stand-up. See her at the comedy festival.
Great.
Got her in a cab. And then I said, look, I'll just book an Uber. It's fine. And there were three different guys whose cars I just jumped in the back of and went, you're the one? And he goes, who are you? And I had to get out. Three times, Nikki.
And you've jumped in the back. There's a guy driving and you're just sitting in the back. Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Croydon.
As I'm drunk back on my phone going, well, you're getting a one-star review. Yeah. Just know that full well.
This is the best of Kennedy Malloy. And please remember, the best is a relative term.
Like many in the stand-up world, comedy wasn't Dilruk's first career choice.
And I used to be an accountant. Yeah, a Sri Lankan accountant. So not just a money cruncher, but a curry-munching money cruncher.
But his supportive family would have been so proud when their son was fired from his accounting job, only to end up starring on TV shows like Utopia and winning a Logie.
We're back in Colombo, streaming this illegally, by the way, so... They're on to you.
The inspiration for his current show, Cheat Day, comes from the very public bet he made with his mate Ben about losing some weight.
First to sub 100 wins the bet, $1,000.
Yep. All the best, Dill. I wish you the best.
No, you don't.
Okay, see you, fatty.
Please welcome the very fit and very funny Dilruk Jayasinghe.
Oh, my God.
Hey, fatty.
I know.
No longer.
You're
fatty,
fading
fatty's
away.
Great...
Mate, I still feel like a boomba in the head. And you know what I mean? Like, it can't be 30
hey,
years of being a
trust
big
Trust me, once a boomba, always a boomba.
Right, right. And feel
and
like
we're
mate,
quite jolly people, really.
Yeah, there's a lot of laughing. You're... Sometimes laughing at yourself and then crying at home, but also sometimes laughing at
you. You are one bucket of Kentucky away from re-entering my world.
That
don't
is,
you
well,
ever
that's my
that.
Saturday cheat days, mate. I kick it off with breakfast KFC. That's how
I So how do you do it? So is it just...
First of all, how much weight have you lost?
So I've lost a total of, at this point, 35 kilos. Oh, right. Yeah, it's, okay. To be honest, losing it was easy. It's keeping it off. That's
sure,
nice. Yeah,
that's the hard thing.
The real hard part.
So it's not job done when the weight's lost.
No, no. It's
can I suggest, too, that your diet, and a traditional Sri Lankan diet even, I mean, yeah. I know you love your takeaway and everything, but yes. There's some pretty boomba dishes
rice.
In Sri Lankan culture, isn't there?
Mate, rice for breakfast, rice for, I mean, just bit any of rice. Time. Just rice everywhere. And I love it. And that's the thing. So I knew that I can't do any diet that feels like I'm depriving myself. So I found one diet that basically said, hey, just chill for 6 days. Try not to eat carbs and sugars for 6 days. But 7th day, all bets are off. Just
go
for it.
Go nuts. And I do it. On Saturday, I wake up around 4:30 in the morning, get a head start. The cocoa
is that
pops
the one you chose?
Yeah, I choose Saturday. I mean, yeah. To be honest, now that I've lost it, the cheat days are happening a bit more regular because I'm just trying to maintain it a bit. But at the same time, you know, I think I genuinely don't know how the diet works. I almost say in my show that this show is more of a how not to guide.
But it must be unusual. I don't know if there's many stand-up comics in the world who have currently doing a show about their weight loss. And it's actually quite informative and funny.
I'm trying. Surely. Exactly. Look, I get a fair bit of it's a different type of feedback, Mickey, sure. After gigs than I used to before. Okay. You know, like it's always like them saying things like, oh, thanks for inspiring. Thanks for this. I'm like, yeah, but what about the bit where I, you know, did... Yeah. Well, I was about to tell a story that's probably not suitable for radio, but still, let's just say a vacuum cleaner was involved.
But also stand up, and here's the other thing I've noticed, is alcohol is everywhere.
Yes.
And alcohol's a factor. Is it a factor for you?
It was for sure. So I had to quit drinking about 2.5 years ago.
See, there it is.
Well,
there it is.
Damn you.
I think you can't keep drinking and expect
You can't be skinny and keep drinking. Is that what you're saying?
You can't be skinny and an alcoholic. That's what I find.
As are many skinny alcoholics.
Well, I think what it was for me with boozing was that I would get on the trend with like starting to lose weight or whatever and then have a massive night on the grog and then just then go, oh, well, I just have some chips for today and then you recover and
that's
then it's a
it.
Week and it all comes off.
You want
off.
Some big fried cook-up breakfast because you're feeling a bit hungover. Oh. Who comes to this show that you're doing about weight loss, hey, who's coming, is it?
All
fatty boombas? Is it
all
fatty boombas? Is it
men, women, everybody
before
wants
shots,
to know.
After shots?
Exactly. Well, because that's the thing. I cover everything. I cover the idea of how I, you know, how I applied the same knowledge of when I quit drinking, I tried to do it with food and, you know, and going through the psychologies of that as well. But at the same time, it's coming from both worlds because I guess a fellow boomba recognizes, you know, the pain in my voice and they know where I'm coming from. So they relate to it on that level.
Yeah.
And the fitness freaks love it because they know this.
The next stage.
They're seeing me. Yeah. Come into their world. It's almost like welcoming me. Come with us. Yeah.
Come to me.
You should have a weigh in. That's what you should
exactly.
do for the audience.
The audience.
The audience is stepping on the scales. You're in. Your audience should have a total weight.
Oh,
a total
my
weight.
God. Which is the fattest crowd in Melbourne Comedy Festival?
You guys
Festival.
Are the fattest crowd I've ever had. Thank you.
This is the best of Kennedy Malloy.
You moved to Australia to get a degree in accounting. Mm. You worked in accounting?
I did. I was there. I was. I won't say which firm I was there for,
sure.
But it starts with the Canes, with a G, a couple of letters in between. Could be any of them,
I
right?
Love, this it is not be. Unusual. How many comedians do we know who started in accounting?
Well, I know Limo definitely. There's a lot of lawyers.
Yeah.
I think people think accountants get a bad rap because, as Limo says, it's just a bad PR because the job is boring. So that actually lends itself to some really interesting characters.
Yeah, sure.
Because you have to try and, you know, stay active. So I remember before I got fired, my boss called me into the office and
said, we can't have you keep charging, you know, hours and hours to the footy tipping comp. Because I was in charge of it. And they're
did
like,
you say before you got fired? Did you actually
get fired? Yeah,
and what was the main reason apart from the footy tipping?
They said, look, we wanted to keep you around because you're a fun vibe around the team, but you're just not, we can't afford to keep
you
around.
Add up.
So then you continue and you have a career in entertainment. You gave it a crack, particularly in comedy, and you win the Graham Kennedy Award for Most Popular New Talent in 2018 at the Logies.
Now,
I'm trying to find out what the reaction was for your family. Was it Colombo? Did you say
So mum and dad are living in Colombo. My brother lives in India with his Indian wife, and which we don't talk about because of the cricket. You know,
very controversial. Not right now.
But,
not with the World Cup.
But we did. But it was funny because my brother was in town during that time, and he just happened to know how to rig the system, so he got a live stream off the Logies.
So you should watch it. Is that what you're looking for now?
I'm literally trying to find it. Well, it's not a photo. There's actually a moment, and he just happened to start filming the whole thing as Bert Newton was about to announce my name. I was trying to see if I can pull it out before.
Now, is Bert Newton a household name, do you think, in
Colombo? Absolutely not. I mean...
he'd be a Buddha-like figure in India.
He would be. He should be.
Every full moon is a holiday in Sri Lanka, but not because of Bert, right? but it was a thing where I genuinely said to them, look, my chances are pretty slim. You know, I'm up against some Neighbours characters, Home and Away, you know. But it turns out...
pretty white characters, too. Yeah, by the way.
Well, I reckon, there was three angles that I think that people came from. A lot of people like me from Utopian having been paying attention, but also I think a lot of the podcast fans from things like the Little Dum Dum Club got involved, but also the Sri Lankan community in Australia.
That's fantastic.
I reckon they just jumped on board because how often do you see someone who looks like me who's up for
it? So they've been helping with the votes. Now, are you up for anything this year? Are you sort of
I don't think I'm even invited. Isn't this business great? You can win the most popular talent, not even best, most popular, and
that's
then
terrible.
One year later go, who is that guy? Oh, is that catering?
That's funny. I've sat on quite a few tables where the most popular talent has won.
Right.
I'm not saying it's a cursed award, but...
Well, you look, there's a few that seem to have bucked the trend. Like, for example, Simon Baker, he's a former winner.
Chris Hemsworth is another.
Look at him now. He could be in a mansion in Byron Bay.
He was in Thor Ragnarok. You can have Ragnarok. It's already So I feel like that was the first time people understood. And you know, in Sri Lanka, when I tried to explain what the award was, Chris Hemsworth sort of did it. But the one that really sold it to my relos was Jason Donovan.
Oh.
He's huge.
From Neighbours still.
Yes.
After all these years.
He's huge where?
In Sri Lanka. Sealed with a Kiss is still played on the radio.
So you're telling me Neighbours is huge in Sri Lanka too?
Get that out.
You know what? I actually don't think Neighbours is as big.
Yeah, but it was just Jason Donovan himself.
And Kylie, of course.
Sealed with a Kiss.
Sealed with a Kiss. So when I told people... Do we have stats of your Sri Lankan listenership just going up all of a sudden?
Don't worry, we've got plenty of Sri Lankans.
If anyone's stealing this feed in Sri Lanka, they're going berserk right
say
now.
Good for you. Now, at the moment, you're just currently shooting the fourth series of Utopia. I know that because I know a few
How's
people.
How's that going? It's getting a bit rough on set. I've heard Rob Sitch is a bit of an arsehole on set.
Very demanding. Screams every day.
Limo doesn't learn his lines. Turns up drunk. Is that true? Would you say?
Celia Piccola is an absolute diva.
Celia Piccola. Well,
the views expressed of Kenny Malloy are just theirs, not Dilruk Jaisinghas. Please note that. Just put that disclaimer in. Sorry, Rob Sitch. It's been great. It's been incredible. It's a genuine. I honestly get really giddy because I was a fan of the show beforehand.
Yes.
And I remember the first day in the previous season that I did when I had a scene with Kitty Flanagan because I'd worked with her as a stand-up.
Yes.
But when she's in the character Rhonda, it's a different persona. And I literally had that moment when, oh my God, Rhonda's here. Like it actually just kicked in because it's the hardest challenge for me is not fanboying and trying to be a colleague because I'm like, oh, hang on, I'm on this side of the camera now.
I'm actually in it.
This is the best of Kennedy Malloy and a few mediocre bits that managed to scrape through.
Tom Ballard is an angry millennial who's had enough.
Here's the thing that really annoys me about Australian politics. We don't assassinate our leaders.
He's had enough of the baby boomers.
Too much attitude from people who need to be shown five times how to use Apple TV. Okay? How do I take Netflix? I don't know, mate. You went to uni for free. You figure it out.
And he's had enough of Triple M. This sketch on his old TV show Tonight Me is anything to go by.
At Triple M, normally we play songs like K-San, Back in Black,
Run to Paradise.
Back in Black again.
Back in Black again. That's a good song. But for the Ozzist 100, we're going to play those exact same songs, but with a number in front of them.
Clearly, he hasn't had enough of working, though, with both a new live show and a play based on Q&A touring at the moment. Would you please welcome Tom Bella?
Hello, Tom Bella.
I didn't write that sketch.
This is your...
I love Triple M. I love Triple M.
We know you do. This is your Virgin appearance on Kennedy Malloy.
Hello, what an honour.
You're losing your cherry here.
How you doing, Mick?
Feeling
right?
Good, Tom.
Like
I'm
sweating
good. I'm a bit shaky. I've had a big night. I'm just trying to find a beer in Triple M somewhere.
I don't think it's that hard. We should be the home of beer.
I would have assumed that you have a producer dedicated entirely to providing Willow with beer.
Well, right. Hang on, the door's open. Here we go.
There it is.
Well done, Whitney.
I say in future you just give me one of those hats with the two bottles.
Well, why not?
Two
I
beer
say.
Cans attached to it.
Hey, I was about to say quickly, yeah, you go ahead.
Most of those bits we just heard, which are bloody funny, were from your Tonight, your TV show on the ABC, which I'm sorry to say was removed because I thought it was great. Oh. We had a good, we got a good leg up at the ABC back in the day, and it's exactly the type of show they should have been making, and shame on the ABC.
Hey, how's your relationship with Ita?
I have no contact with Ita Buttrose. I think we have similar values.
I think so.
She would appreciate my language.
We're still waiting for a CEO to be announced at the ABC, so Michelle Guthrie, I don't think, was right. That was not happening there with you guys.
She liked us, but it was a crazy time. She was shown the door 2 weeks after we got cancelled, by the way, so never cross me, Jane. I will destroy you and bring you down.
That is heavy going stuff when you say that, Tom. I'll tell you what struck me before when we were just listening again to that intro. Did you have to pay for your university? Did you go to university?
I went to university for 6 weeks.
Oh, okay.
I dropped out of a law degree.
Wow. Yeah.
To do comedy, like my heroes, Mick Molloy and Jen Kennedy.
Oh.
And I actually got there on a scholarship, so I didn't pay anything.
Well, that's incredible. Now, which tells me.
What a cool, relatable guy.
There's a little bit of brains going up there for you. But you were actually 14 years old when you started doing comedy. How is that? And how did your friends react when you started to do that? Did they go, hey, mate, we're all funny at 14, because every 14-year-old I know thinks they're hilarious.
Oh, God.
What made you stand out?
Well, I didn't. It's obnoxious, the idea that a 14-year-old would have anything to say about the world. I was doing jokes about all the girls I liked. And I think there was definitely a poo joke in there. And I think it was just my overwhelming confidence from for some reason my parents told me to believe in myself. And, I kept doing stand-up.
And how did it manifest itself? Were you doing stand-up at 14 or were you getting in comedy plays and writing stuff? What were you doing?
Yeah, Melbourne Comedy Festival does a competition called Class Clowns.
I remember seeing you in early days in that, yes. Wow. And you did stand out, I have to say, because, again, it's quite discerning to pick a kid who actually understands nuance, irony, that's very a bit mature with that.
Have we talked about the fact that I auditioned for, you were talking about doing...
The bloody... It was... what is it? What's the show when you walk in the door?
Thank God you're here,
yes. And we did.
We're the FSU brain, I think.
What is it like having made so many television shows you can't remember the name?
Pardon me. There was a time when we were going to make a kid's version of... Thank God you're here. Wow. And I auditioned 100
That's a
children.
Cash grab, that is, but go.
Well, it was not cynical because I said, I'm not sure if we can get it together. And I auditioned 100 kids to see if they had the chops to do it because people underestimate how hard it is to walk through that door. Anyway, there was probably only 2 good kids. I think, did I talk to you?
I was one of them.
Yes, you were one of them. You were perhaps, there was only one and there was one other guy. And I just said, I've got 2 guys. We can't do a show with it. And that honestly is the truth.
That's it. Everybody go home. Do you remember the first joke you wrote, like when you were 14? Or have you got one that stood out for you?
The joke when when I was 16 years old, it was about fun-sized Mars bars. I said, ever since they brought out those fun-sized Mars bars, I've completely stopped worrying about the size of my penis. Because now I know it's not disappointing, it's fun size. Now, if Tom Gleason hears this interview, he will be furious. He argues that he wrote that joke years before me at university, and it was his. I'm just saying I did it, got a round of applause at the Royal Comedy National Final.
You've got
and then I was beaten
manners.
By someone called Hannah Gadsby. I don't know
what Hannah.
She's gone nowhere.
She won't go anywhere, don't worry about that.
So any spare time, what do you do? So you're travelling and you're doing your shows. How do you spend your time off?
Looking for love.
I was going to ask that. What's your situation in love at the moment?
It's depressing and lonely.
Really?
Do
you have an animal? Do you have a cat? Is that cliche to ask you?
That's illegal, okay, Jane?
He's a young man.
I'm sorry.
That's actually pretty homophobic, to be honest.
Really?
Do you have an animal?
Well, thanks for coming in. I'm sorry about
it. It is not to ask someone if they've got an animal.
Tell me if you've had this done. I went to Mardi Gras a couple of weeks ago. I've been out there. It was great fun. Yeah. Wonderful times. I was on the dance floor, interested in a gentleman. I was chatting him up, having a crack at that. Mm. Then together we met another guy. There was another guy on the dance floor. They started talking to each other. We're all hanging out. We're having a great time.
Right.
I'm a legend. I'll buy everyone drinks. I'll go buy some drinks, everyone. So you guys take it here. I go to the bar, get the drinks, look over there, chatting. They seem to be getting along well. Oh, well, we're all getting along well.
Yes.
Return with the drinks, give the drinks to the friend and then to everybody. And then the guy I was interested in leant in to me and said, I need you to make out with this guy for a bit. I thought, hot, sexy, fun. Yes, please.
Jeez, wow. Hang on. Mind. I don't know if our Triple M listeners are ready for
that. That escalated quickly.
Strap in, Triple M.
Okay, go for it.
So I talked to this new guy who I don't really know, and I'm like, he's very attractive. I said, hey, do you want to make out a little bit? And he looked at me and said, no. And then I looked back to the original guy. And he's looking at me with disgust. And then he says, no. I said, I'm going to make out with him for a bit. I need you to leave. This is why.
Good time.
Dude, you got to come out with me and my girlfriend. We got a better chat. Yeah, okay. Trust me. Right, I know, I'll be your right.
But you're ready to go, and that's the main thing.
I'm ready and willing to go.
You are all hands on deck.
You're open for love.
Your team player.
Anyone.
This is the best of Kennedy Malloy.
Tom Ballard wrapping it up for us there. Looking forward to having him in the studio more this year. He's a ripper. Plus, we've got a couple of more of these podcast specials coming up for you in the next week or so keep an ear out for that. And don't forget, April 23, it's a Tuesday, the return of Kennedy Malloy with new shows. Enjoy.